Let's say that in an hypothetical scenario that a local mayor from South American city, let's say Santiago, will ask you to solve the same traffic problems that we have. Do you think, for example, if it's possible to bring this kind of lessons in New York, do you think that there are similar solutions for similar problems?
I think every city is different. There's no cookie cutter approach. You have to tailor transportation solutions to meet the needs of a particular area. But I do think that there's a lot of lessons in terms of how you prioritize the use of street space. In New York City, for example, we can't triple our road network. You know, that's not going to be a more livable city. We need to make it more efficient for people to get around. Actually, in New York, we did approach the Broadway project as a traffic improvement project because what happens is Broadway cuts a diagonal path through the street grid system, and by reconnecting it to the grid, we were actually able to improve traffic flow while providing 3 acres of public space for pedestrians. We have some 356,000 pedestrians that go through Times Square each and every day, and only 10% of that space there was dedicated to the pedestrians, you know, despite the fact that they are 90% of the people there. And 90% of the road space was dedicated to cars, despite the fact that only 10%, you know, there are only 10% of the people. So we're basically rebalancing our transportation system to prioritize people. And we're really bringing urban interventions where necessary to reduce congestion, whether it's traffic congestion, whether it's PEDLOC, where you have pedestrian congestion, or public transit congestion.
So if in that scenario, if you would like to translate these kind of strategies, it would mean that we have to re-understand our streets in South America.
Yes, that you have to look at streets. You have to treat them as the valuable places they are. In some ways, I think of New York City DOT, my agency, as the largest real estate developer in New
Yeah,
York.
we read that
Right?
in
So,
the same article.
yeah, no, forget about Donald Trump. It's the New York City Department of Transportation. And once we look at it as valuable real estate, you have a very different perspective on it. And so, you know, our people, you know, people in cities are very protective of their streets because that's where they are. And so we have to look at them very, very differently if we're going to design places that are healthy for people, that are healthy for our planet, and that are economically strong.
Going on with that, the same idea, I don't know if you know, but maybe Santiago was one of the first cities in South America to introduce pedestrian roads in the city center. And after, let's say, 15 years or maybe 20, people are now going back to the argument that because of the intensity in the streets, it's getting kind of risky for people because of the, you know, pickpocketers and kind of things. So some politicians were arguing to put cars on the streets
Well,
because of.
I'm not sure that the answer to the security piece is to bring more cars in.
It was
I
very
think the
contradictory.
answer to the security piece is to bring more security.
Or put more eyes on the streets.
Yeah. And so, you know, maybe that's cameras, you know, you know, more boots on the ground, but you know, it's taking back public space that's loved, and it's clearly loved because you've got explosive growth there. You know, it's sort of counterintuitive to take it back and to put cars in there.
That was a very confusing debate, I would
I
say.
would think that even from an economic perspective, it wouldn't make much sense because what we've seen is when you create attractive public spaces, it's very good for business. And so I would think that the business community would be supportive of continued investment in streetscape improvements because that really does pay off for them. Even though sometimes it seems counterintuitive, you actually have pedestrians spend more money per capita than drivers do.